Amen. Well, good morning. So today is a special day, and I'm personally very excited because we are dovetailing the end of two series together today. Over the last month and a half or so, Andy and I have been going through the book of 1 John here in the adult services, and we keep hearing the themes of love and real love, and hence the love letter, and we've explored what is love. What is love? That song got stuck in my head. And so we've been exploring this concept. But at the same time, across the way, the youth here at First Baptist Church of Clovis, especially in the third service, has been going over an integrity purity series called Baywatch for reasons I don't feel like explaining right now. But it's about dating and relationships, and we've been taking a look about what does that mean. And it's kind of neat today because here in the 9:15 and the 10:45 service, we're going to be doing an integrity purity ceremony right here up on the stage. And so I confess to you, this is a little bit of, man, I'm going to be describing what's going to be happening at the 9:15 and 10:45 service. You are welcome to come to either one of those services. So today, with your permission, is going to be a bit of, can I describe to you what the youth of this church are going to be doing in the next two services? And just know that I might flip back and forth in my notes of saying, and what's going to be happening, but it's going to be happening in the next services. But it's just been laid on my heart that I want you to know so that you can be celebrating what's happening in the other services with the young people in our church that you pray for, that you financially support, that many of you actually know through various means of service or even going to Mexico or whatever it is that you do, or when you pray for them when they wear those Mexico shirts. And so I want you to know what's going on with your family, even though you might not get to see them all the time. Is that okay today? Can I do that? It really reminds me, it gives me echoes of Mexico, because when we get to go there, the thing that just gets me excited, yes, creating homes and all that is great, but when I see my church family, people who don't normally know each other in all different services, hanging out, laughing, braiding each other's hair, playing games, swinging hammers, praying for each other, lifting their hands up and praising the Lord in a chapel 400 or 500 miles from here, my heart just lights up. And so today we're going to get to see a little bit of that. And I get really excited because I know after doing this for 15 years that a youth, a young person, junior high or high schooler, or even college age person, we live in a world where most youth walk away for a time. Many youth do, at very least. And I could tell you hands down that when they've experienced real love in a church family as young people, the chances of them wanting that again when they go out and experience the love that the world has to offer greatly increases, and they come back to the Lord. Not every single time, but I would say most, and it's a beautiful thing, and I'm just proud to be in a church where we show young people and not so young people what real love is, because we let Jesus love through us. And I also have seen, it's not just for the benefit of young people, I've seen adult people, that sounds funny. I've seen adults be ignited and excited, and I've seen adults here in this church be led by younger people to the Lord. And that just goes to show me, wow, look what Jesus can do. And I've seen older people grow in faith and help out. And so in short, today is about practicing what Scripture teaches when it talks about young and old interacting well, modeling well, and loving and respecting each other well. So I think you can see why I get excited. I often kind of get categorized as the youth guy, but I'm kind of the people guy. I love people, and I love watching God bring his people together. And so today, even though here in the adult series we've been going through the book of 1 John, I'm going to tell you that we're not going to finish it. We're not going to do every single verse, which is kind of weird for me because I'm kind of a, if you start it, you got to complete it guy. But we're on chapter 5 of the book of 1 John, and we love going through entire books of the Bible. I remember once a long time ago, to make sure we hit every word, I went through, I think it was Nehemiah 7, and the only thing in that chapter was names. If it's in the Bible, we're going to do it. And man, that was one of my favorite sermons ever. And so in a weird way, it kind of pains me not to read every single verse today. But it's because I think we have something more or at least equally as important as going through those verses. You see, we don't want to miss the opportunity to love and support each other because we're simply reading about how to love and support each other. We don't just want to walk by the opportunity. We want to actually practice what Scripture says, and we get to do that today in the upcoming services. So I encourage you, read chapter 5 when you go home. We're going to read some verses from it today that tie in, but I want to encourage you to finish reading that to my adult friends here today. I will say that we can recap a little bit, though. We've been going over the book of 1 John, written by arguably Jesus' closest friend. And at this point, he's probably older in life, and we're not sure where he wrote it, but it could have been in several stages of life, maybe even while he was exiled to Patmos. But his message is clear over and over and over again, almost to the point to where it's so repetitive you start to tune out. He says, love. Love, love, love. And we've learned that in both services, we've learned that there's a worldly kind of love, a feeling we call love, or a romantic love. But there's also familial love, like in a family, and these loves are good. There's friend love or brotherly, sisterly love, and those are good as well. But then we also love things like puppies or pizza or football, and I really love those things. And this week I kind of realized, wow, if we're going to be really honest, this was funny / not that funny. We can tend to love the things on the end of that list, pizza, puppies, football, more than we actually love people. You ever notice that? Sadly, that's kind of a true thing. And so Jesus comes into the picture, and John steps in and says, let me tell you about Jesus. And he shows us what real love is, how to love other believers, how to love non-believers, how to even love your enemies, and where it all plays out, whether it's at work or at school, sports, online, which tends to be really tricky these days, how to love others even in your finances or in your time, your attitude, and especially even here at church, John talks about that. Side note, several of you were at the Rio Grill night the other night that we had, the quiz night. We had over at least 120 people there that night. Again, I got to tell you, I was geeking out. Behind the scenes, I was stressing out, trying to keep everything going. And who here went? Can I just, do you mind? There we go. Oh, look at those hands. I got to tell you, aside from eating delicious food and playing fun quiz games, which we're going to get even better at and make it more refined and have fun with, there were things happening that some of you didn't get to see. Like a couple, I know at least one person who has terminal cancer and doesn't have long for this earth. She made the long trip just to be with her church family. There was another couple that came in. It was a younger couple with a baby, and they you might have thought they were with our church because our church members were holding this baby so the parents could eat. They didn't know who we were, but they showed up that night and said, we had reservations because Rio Grill accidentally made them reservations, but we bought out Rio Grill. And so they're like, sorry, sir, we have a private party. And they were going to turn them away. And I said, can we please fit? They have a baby. And so we fit them in. And they stayed for like 2 hours participating in the quiz, thanking us for letting them stay, having a ball. And our people are carrying around. I was like, that's not one of our babies. It is now. And the dad shook my hand. He's like, thank you. Tonight was really awesome. It was really fun hanging out with you guys. And I think it's fair to say we're going to be checking out your church. Sweet, well, you already checked it out tonight. And so this concept of loving each other, it just makes me proud because I feel like we do it well. And we're reminded by this very John, but in John chapter 13, in a different book, that they will know that we are disciples by our love for one another. And so we learn also from Jesus that love is a choice. It's not a feeling. We also learn that it's usually a sacrificial action. It almost always costs something. It's unconditional, what we call agape love. It's not tied to anything. A lot of times I'll hear people say something like, Nick, I just don't know how to get this person to, you know, reciprocate or to do this thing or to behave or to whatever. I've tried loving. And I just want to politely push back and go, well, now you're loving for the wrong reasons. You see, you're trying to love to get something back. And that's not why Jesus says to love. He doesn't say love because it'll work. Because he'll be the first to tell you, yeah, it doesn't always work. Trust me, I know, Jesus would say. We love because Jesus commands us to, not to get something out of it. mean, when you think about it, if it was natural to love in this way, then he wouldn't have to command us to do it. But it's inherent just from him commanding us to do it that it's not easy or natural. We love because we see people with Jesus' eyes and not our own. And he sees that everyone is made in God's image. May we see people the way Jesus sees people. Amen? He died for them, for us, even while we were still enemies with him. And the adults and the youth have been studying over the last few weeks that relationships on this earth aren't necessarily here to make us happy. We need to get out of that mindset. God gave us relationships to help make us holy. And that's hugely important. But it starts with Jesus. He changes us into a new creation. He gives us a new command different than this world. And it affects how we live and especially how we love others, or at least it should. I will pick up in John chapter 5. You can follow along up behind me. We'll read the beginning part. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world." Has anyone ever seen a race car, those dragster race cars? I think I have a picture of one. Can we have that tossed up here if we can here? So these dragsters, if you've never seen one, those ones with the big wheels like this big, and they take off and go incredible speeds, 330 miles an hour they've been clocked at. Here's some stats about those dragsters, by the way. They can do 1,000 feet in just under 4 seconds. The fuel pumped into the engines goes at about 100 gallons per second. Oh, no, per minute. I'm sorry. 100 gallons per minute, which is the equivalent of a fire hose. Think about that. That's how fast the gas is going. The air pumped into the engine, sucked into the engine, sucks it in at 50 cubic feet per second. That's 50 feet that way, and that it would suck the air out of this room in a matter of seconds. The fuel burns at 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. They have roughly 10,000 horsepower. They're 11 times more powerful than a NASCAR, which is saying something. The G's, like the amount of gravity that the drivers feel, is 5 G's at takeoff. This is more than what astronauts feel when they're leaving our Earth, mind you. They hit 100 miles an hour in 0.8 seconds, less than 1 second. That's 2 times faster than a jet taking off from an aircraft carrier. To give you perspective just how fast they go, we all know what an Indy car is, right? If an Indy car was flying at 175 miles an hour and hit the starting line right next to a dragster, and the dragster started then, giving the Indy car a 175-mile head start, the dragster would still win. That's how fast it's going. And it goes that fast because it was designed and created. Every inch of that thing was made for one purpose: speed and going straight. That's it. It was made for that, which means it would be weird if you decided to park it in your garage or go pick up groceries in it or go cruise down Old Town Clovis, right? Just like this, gallons of gas just going through the thing. People like, where's the oxygen, you know? This thing was designed for something specific. And if you throw on any kind of wheel or use any kind of gas, you're misusing it. And it's being wasted as a resource. Does that make sense? And so if we use it for something like getting to work fast down 168, which would look kind of awesome, it would be unsafe, ill-advised, and not what it was designed for. It's simply a misuse of what God gave us. For this car and for our lives, if this is an analogy, we use the right fuel, the right tires, stay on the right track and at the right speed because it's healthy for the car, or it's healthy for us. And if we're going to talk about us, it's not just healthy, it's what makes us holy. Again, verse 3 said this, and this is where we're going to segue into the youth. and his commands are not burdensome. His commands are a blessing to us, which leads us to what the youth have been talking about. You see, both the adult and youth services, we've been talking about Jesus' commands. Do this, do this, do this, do this. But we've been very careful to say, don't do this because you have to. Do this because you get to. It's what you were designed to do. You are far better than any dragster. You can accomplish way more than any dragster. You can turn, for one. But you can do amazing things, and your fuel is the Holy Spirit. And so when we live in any other way from that, we're not being used to our full potential and design. And so over in the youth series, we've been learning about what the world says for dating and relationships versus what the Bible says in dating and relationships. We've been taking a look at the truth of dating and singleness and tips for when it's time to enter into relationships. We've been taking a look at sex and what the Bible does and doesn't say about it. We've been taking a look at friendships and this concept of how not to awaken love before it's ready. This world tries to awaken it way too fast, usually in kids in the single digits, sadly. And we've been talking about how not. We've also been talking about something that we've been speaking about over here in the adult service, how to find your identity. Many people find their identity in their achievements, in their sports, in their grades, or their position, in their title, or their social structure. Many people, sadly, find their identity in their looks, their money, their location, maybe even physical location, friends. And quite often, it's mostly in relationships. How many people like me? In fact, there's this kind of weird thing that happens online. I don't know how much this happens in this room, but it's prevalent in the world where we live in a culture that wants to post pictures and then wants to get lots of likes. You post a tweet or something, and how many times does it get retweeted? And you want people to like your picture and like your post and like. And we're thirsty for attention. What do you think of me? Like my stuff. What do you think of me? Like my stuff. And we're thirsty, 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 which I think is beautiful because Jesus comes along and says, wow, that type of water will only leave you thirsting. But I come and I give you living water. And if you drink from me, you will thirst no more. You see, stop trying to get likes because you're only trying to drink from a well that you're always going to want more of. And you're looking for the approval of man. And Jesus says, look for the approval of me. Find your identity there, and you'll thirst no more. And we've been talking about that so that we don't end up wanting just the approval of any man or woman, especially in a relationship. And lastly, with the youth, we talked about purity and how it's more than just sexual purity. Because if all we did was teach people, hey, wait till you're married to have sex, all we've done is behavior modification. We've not really transformed the heart. We've not really taught what real purity is. You see, purity, it affects all other areas. We're talking about purity in thought and in music and in television and in movies, what we listen to, what we watch. We talked about purity in our speech, in our tongue, what we say, what we don't say. Purity in spending, in honesty, integrity, in work ethic, in friendships, and yes, in romance, and even how we spend our time. We can measure with by looking at through the lens of purity. Even how much we eat and drink or what we eat and drink, we can take a look at impurity. Purity is simply listening to God's design for you and obeying his command. And remember, his commands aren't meant to be burdensome. They're meant to be a blessing. So I lied. I said that was the last thing that we learned, but it occurred to me that it's not. You see, what we also talked about was the incredible importance of what do you do if you miss the mark? Because by about age one day old, we've probably sinned. And by the time you're 3, 4, or 5, your parent probably accumulated a good list. And by the time you're 15, it's just a habit, right? And so it's very easy at the end of a purity series for people to say, well, I don't want to make that commitment because I sin at an incredible rate. And I don't know what to do. So I messed up, might as well just mess up big. Go big or go home. And that can be the mindset. But we took a very important look at the scriptures where we're taught that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And one of my youth leaders, Megan Smith, she did a great job filling in for me one Sunday while I was over here. And she had sort of repeated a story of one that I heard where a youth pastor got up and he was doing a talk on purity. And I think it was a YouTube video clip, and he passed around a rose to the crowd, and all of them said, "Hey, everyone, smell the rose. And he went on doing his purity talk. And at the end of his purity talk, the rose had been passed around, and it came back. And then the rose, by the time he got it, you know, the thorns are cracking off, and the petals are, you know, like when you bend a petal out, it gets that black crease in it, and it's missing a ton of them, and it's all wrinkly and defiled. And he goes, "Who wants this rose? Who wants this now? It's not pure. Who wants this rose?" And I remember watching, I mean, this was 10 plus years ago, and it's a fairly conservative church, and I'm watching this video like screaming. I'm like, "Jesus wants the rose. Jesus died for that rose. Jesus loves that rose, made that rose, and will redeem that rose. Don't make that rose feel like it's unworthy to receive that kind of love." And so we took a huge and important look that, yes, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus still is willing to redeem us. And so here now, well, sorry, I just did it. This is where, in the next couple services, what we're going to be doing, and I'm excited about, is inviting people up to the front to make an integrity and purity vow. And we talk about how integrity is an engineering term. If you were to make a foundation and you looked at its integrity, it's talking about its strength. If it's high integrity, then the concrete is unified and there are no cracks. But if it's weak or low integrity, it's weak, there's divisions in it, which means it's not very stable. And so Jesus asks us, what foundation will you build your life on? On me, the solid rock, or on what this world has to offer, which is low integrity? And so the youth are going to be making, there's going to be people who are making this commitment for the first time. There's going to be people remaking this commitment. And there's perhaps going to be youth that are making this commitment either again or for the first time that have strayed. But they're the rose coming back and saying, "I want to make this commitment." But admittedly, last night as I was sort of writing this, I thought, well, and I plan on doing this in the next couple services, saying, "What? Why do we just do this for youth? Why do we have purity ceremonies? Like the adults are like, you youth need to stay pure because we adults have our stuff together." So in the next service, something I'm going to do is say, "Hey, adults, let's follow our wonderful young people's example." So there's going to be young people up here with rings. Our church, by the way, purchased rings for any youth that wanted one. I think I purchased a little over 30 rings. They can wear them as necklaces. Some youth have bracelets. Some youth have parents that have bought them a ring. And so some youth are going to even wear their rings around their neck, and they're going to come up here, and they're going to make a vow. And I'm going to invite adults also to say, "Hey, you can come stand up here and make the vow too." And the youth are going to line up here, and they're going to repeat a vow. And I'm going to invite adults up. So pray for the next couple services. And heck, maybe here in a moment, if you feel like standing during the vow, you can stand where you're at as well. So I'll invite anyone that wants to come up. And then they're going to repeat this vow. I'll show you what the vow is, if we can bring it up here. They'll repeat together as I break it up, kind of like a wedding vow. "Lord, I make a commitment to you to live a life of integrity and purity. I give you my heart, mind, body, and soul. All I have is yours. And may this ring daily remind me of my vow." Whether they have a ring or not, there's probably something symbolizing that. Amen. And then I'm going to invite friends and family to come stand behind these young people. We're going to lay our hands on them, and then we're going to pray for them. Or old people, I don't know. It's going to be a God thing. We'll see what happens. Maybe people will come up or maybe they won't. But I know that when you make that vow of integrity and purity, you become a target. And Satan goes, "Oh yeah? We'll see about that." So we're going to saturate them in prayer as a family, like we're supposed to do. And so this is when I'll do it. I'll invite them up and then it'll be time. So I suppose I'll ask this room, and there's no pressure. This is the part where it's weird, and admittedly, I'm like, I don't know how to for sure check on this, but I'll just ask. After hearing that vow, whether you want to rededicate or say it for the very first time, no one's going to ask you. It's between you and the Lord. Is there anyone here that wants to say that vow right now? And you can stand up where you're at and say it. We could say it together or not. Stand now if you'd like to. Wonderful. 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 No obligation, just if you want to. That's awesome. All right. And for everyone that wants to make this vow, repeat after me. Lord, I make a commitment to you to live a life of integrity and purity. I give you my heart, mind, body, and soul. All I have is yours. And may this ring daily remind me of my vow. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, let these vows be true. Let these not be vows we forget. May this day be a day where dozens of us in this room and maybe even hundreds of us in this church say, I remember that day where I said, no more will I live impure in this way. Lord, may you have our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, everything. And may we live a life of integrity and purity for you so that people can know better who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. That was really encouraging. Thanks, guys. Can I tell the next two services about that? So here's how John wraps up his letter, and it's how we're going to wrap up our time. He says in verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Now this part cracks me up because John goes an entire letter without using the word idols. And it's literally the last word he used. Hey, love. You need to make sure that you love, don't hate. Believe in Jesus, not the world. Lightness, darkness, good, evil. Love each other, love each other, love each other. And it's like at the very end, it's like, don't follow idols. Where did that come from, John? And it kind of cracks you up. But then I guess it makes sense. I mean, maybe he's just an old man rambling, or maybe it's just a parting shot, or maybe he's ending it by saying, listen to God and do everything I just told you and keep away from idols because they will derail you from this command, from this purpose. They will distract you, confuse you, busy you, and ultimately keep you from loving something else more than God. That's what an idol is. And when you love that thing, whatever or whomever that thing is, you'll obey their commands. And John says, no, don't do that. Obey Jesus' commands. And so I say to my youth family and my adult family here, both of our series have been about how to love well, real love. It's what we're designed to do. It's what we're saved to do. It's what we're fueled to do. And it's what leads others to God, because ultimately, as we learned in this very book, 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. And that's what we're supposed to show this world. So may we be a people of integrity and purity as we show this world our God of love. Amen? I'll pray. I'll invite the band up. We'll close our time in worship. Father God, we praise you. We admit that we fall short of the mark, but we just fall securely in your arms that says, I have you. I died for you. Thank you for showing us what real love is, that it's laying down your life for another, putting another needs ahead of our own. Lord, help us do that well, whether it's in romantic relationships, friend relationships, work relationships. Let us pray for our enemies. Let us love our church family. Help us love our family. Help us just show people you for your glory, because we want heaven to be full of everyone that we know and don't know. So Lord, help us do this well as we conclude two series on love. May we be one church family under one great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.